Good morning, everyone, and a special good morning and welcome to those who are our guests today. I've seen, although I haven't been able to meet you all yet, I've seen a number of folks who I think are with us for the first time today. We are so blessed to have you with us. And as you may have noted already, this is not quite a typical Sunday at Brooks Avenue, although there may not be quite a typical Sunday at Brooks, but we'll be saying more about Celebrate Recovery in just a moment. Next Sunday, September 29th, our annual picnic with our brothers and sisters from the South Central Church. I hope that you've already put that on your calendar this week. Be looking in the Brooks Blast. If you don't normally read the Brooks Blast, I'm asking you, please be sure and look at it this week, because we will be including in that a menu as what to bring for next Sunday's picnic. So please be looking for that. And I know that's always one of the highlights of our years when we're there with our brothers and sisters from the South Central Church. And it's a great testimony. You know, we're there in Garner at the park and folks all around, and we are singing praises to God. And we are there demonstrating the oneness that we celebrate and share in Christ. It's a wonderful, wonderful witness to a watching world. So I hope that you'll be making plans for that. As we prepare for the lesson in just a moment, could I ask you to pray with me, please? Our Father Almighty God, thank you. Thank you for the healing that you have given us in Christ. And Father, we thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy. We thank you, Father, that you took us from the pits of death and brokenness, and you have exalted us and lifted us high to sit in heavenly places with Jesus Christ, our Lord. In his name, amen.
I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ who struggles with codependency and fear. My name is Amy.
Hi, Amy.
Christ, and I struggle with depression and anxiety.
Hi, my name is Kara. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, and I struggle with addiction.
Hi,
Kara. Hi, my name is Brad, and I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, and I struggle with self-acceptance and self-destructive behavior.
My name is Vivian. I'm a grateful follower of Jesus Christ, and my struggle has been with addiction.
Celebrate Recovery is becoming a powerful instrument in God's hands here at Brooks Avenue for helping people to find wholeness and recovery in Christ. And the key phrase in all that I just said is in Christ. And I want to emphasize, as we frequently do, that Celebrate Recovery is not only for helping people to find recovery from the big things like alcohol and drug addictions, but addictions of all types, like food addictions, for instance, as well as recovery from past hurts that have left us broken and wounded, and hang-ups that interfere with healthy relationships and healthy life, issues such as codependency, anger, pride. In fact, I forgot. Hi, I'm Dennis. I'm a grateful follower of Jesus Christ, and I struggle with issues of codependency and pride. All of these are things that are barriers to a healthy relationship with God and with other people. It's about those things that keep us from growing as disciples of Jesus Christ. And in fact, Celebrate Recovery is ultimately about discipleship. It is about following Jesus, about recovering from the issues that keep us from growing into the likeness of Jesus. As one of our Celebrate Recovery regulars writes, being in recovery has helped me realize that I have hurts, habits, and hang-ups that keep me held back. I believed that recovery was for everyone else, because I didn't have some big problems like a chemical or sexual addiction to work on. I was so very wrong. I've worked on my issues in ways that I never have in a regular church setting. Working the 12 steps really gets to the heart of the matter. I have learned how to deal with struggles that I've had my whole life, but didn't realize because they were just part of who I was. Praise God, I am dealing with them and looking more and more like God every day. I am finding freedom in Christ from strongholds I have had for a long time. End quote. Celebrate Recovery is a 12-step recovery program that is unabashedly and unashamedly centered in Christ and His teachings. In fact, they talk about 12 steps and 8 principles that are grounded in the Sermon on the Mount. God in Christ is our higher power and our strength. And we understand that without God, we are powerless to become who God has called us to be. When those involved with CR talk about its power in their lives, they often describe it as real, as something that is authentic. Now, authenticity, realness, is something that's in great demand today. We hear a lot about it, folks talking about it, but at the same time, it's something that is somewhat difficult to describe. What is authenticity? What does it mean to be authentic, to be real? As another one of our participants put it, quote, being real in recovery is being honest with yourself, with God, and with others that you can trust. Learning where and when I'm not honest with myself about my tendency toward selfishness and self-centered thinking was a real eye-opener for me, end quote. So honesty is a big part of being real. But being real is about more than just being honest. The Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians 4, verses 22 through 24, and I think this text can help us in our understanding of what it is to be authentic and to be real. Beginning with verse 22, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Put off the old self, which is even still, even though I'm a believer in Christ, Paul acknowledges, even that old self is still trying to be resurrected, is still exercising some power in my life as it is corrupted by evil desires. And instead, I'm to put on the new man in Christ that is created to be like God, to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. As Stephen McAlpin put it, with regard to this text, authenticity in the church is the quality of our exposure and brokenness and adornment in God's grace. An authentic person, a real person, is one who is both privately and publicly putting off the old self and, by God's grace, putting on the renewed self. In other words, it's about no longer being controlled by our old desires and our old practices, but rather being the truest person that God is calling us to be and has created us to be. To be the truest person that we can be in God. So, what is it exactly that makes Celebrate Recovery so real to those who participate in it? Well, first is relationship. Now, here's one of the things about Celebrate Recovery. They love acrostics. And here's something about Dennis Conner. He hates acrostics. That's not the way that I normally preach and am comfortable with preaching. So the fact that I am preaching an acrostic sermon says to you how much value I place and how much value I see in the ministry of Celebrate Recovery. R is for relationship. Celebrate Recovery is about relationships, a relationship with God and a relationship with other people created in the image of God. Recovery and wholeness in Christ depend on these two relationships. I can't be who I am called to be by myself and by my own self-determination and grit. Trust me, I've tried it in other ways. And every single time have fallen flat on my face. And I dare say that's your experience as well. We're sinful. We are powerless to overcome sin on our own. We need God. We need the power that He graces us with. And God uses other people. He uses those relationships as instruments of His grace and His power and His strength. The Christian faith, from its inception, was intended to be a communal faith. It was never intended to be only individualistic. And that's why, in fact, we have the church, a community of faith. God intended for us to live in fellowship and community with other believers. And that community is powerfully experienced. That sense of community is powerfully experienced in CR recovery groups. We cannot do it alone. We need each other. R is for relationship. And E is for encouragement. Encouragement. The second thing that makes CR real is encouragement. A critical, judgmental spirit is not welcomed in Celebrate Recovery groups. We're all sinners, and we have no basis upon which to look down on someone else. Your sin is no greater or less than my sin. We all stand on equal footing at the foot of the cross. The point is not to beat people down, but rather to lift them up. The Apostle Paul wrote also to the church in Ephesus in chapter 4, verse 29, "Do not let any unwholesome," other translations read, "corrupt speech. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs." By definition, unwholesome speech, corrupt speech, is speech that is intended to tear people down and that does not intend to build people up. In Celebrate Recovery groups, we use our words and we use our presence to build people up and to lift them up, not to beat them down. A third thing that makes Celebrate Recovery real is accountability. We're all familiar with James 5, verse 16. The accountability culture is very familiar with this text, in which we are encouraged to confess our sins to one another. Without question, there is a transformative power in confession and the honesty that's involved. But it's also important to note that accountability is about so much more than focusing on what I've done wrong. It's about a spiritual friendship in which we trust one another with our struggles. Trust is at the heart of accountability. The focus is not just on what I've done wrong, although trust does mean that I can share my sins with another believer, I can share my failings with someone else, but rather the focus is on encouraging one another, exhorting one another to pursue the higher standard of Christ likeness. As Paul put it earlier, true righteousness and holiness. And while there may be times, if I may quote Jason Bradley, spiritual friends encourage each other to stay connected to the vine so that they can produce fruit. And while there may be times these kinds of friends need to say tough things to each other, it's always with a sense of humility and love. End quote. And fourth, the glue that holds it all together, the glue that allows Celebrate Recovery to be truly real, is love. As Paul wrote to the church in Colossae, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in unity. Colossians 3, verses 13 and 14. It's love. Love as that which seeks the greater good of the other person. Love which seeks that which is in the best interest of the other person, that binds our relationships together and that holds them together. So when all of these elements are in place in a Celebrate Recovery support group, it becomes a powerful tool in the hands of the Holy Spirit for transforming lives. Here's what another Celebrate Recovery participant had to say, quote, recovery is a process of coming to terms with reality, the reality of my powerlessness, but also the reality of God's goodness. As an addict, I developed a fear of reality and retreated into denial. I was afraid that if I admitted to my sin, through which I was already experiencing constant suffering, I would only receive condemnation and punishment in return. But the reality of recovery within the grace of God is just the opposite. Instead, I found acceptance, care, and joy. My message to those afraid of coming into the light is this: God's response to our sin is kinder, more loving, more patient, more forgiving than any human could have imagined. This was the message of the gospel from the beginning. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Romans 8, 1. End quote. And if I could for just a moment, here's the testimony of someone else who has experienced that reality of the transformative power of Celebrate Recovery as we trust Christ with our brokenness.
I never thought that I would be in a 12-step group, and I certainly didn't think that I would be in one after serving 13 years in ministry. Even if I tried, I couldn't think of anything that I actually needed to recover from. I know that Jesus loves me. I know that I'm his daughter. I know that the Holy Spirit is alive and well.
she is.
I never thought that I would be in a 12-step group, and I certainly didn't think that I would be in one after serving 13 years in ministry. Even if I tried, I couldn't think of anything that I actually needed to recover from. I know that Jesus loves me. I know that I'm his daughter. I know that the Holy Spirit is alive and well, and I see him moving around me constantly. My faith is at an all-time high, and none of those things are a question for me. But then God, he showed me something in a way that only he could. See, I'd been talking with a friend of mine for a long time, probably years at this point. We met regularly to share our struggles, mainly her struggles, and then we prayed and we encouraged one another. I never minded that we were usually talking about her struggles because I knew that I was an outlet for her to work through her pain, and I was happy to be that for her. It's hard to hear the struggles that others are going through in this broken world, but I've been through a lot myself, and I know how important it is to have an outlet for that. And it was encouragement for me, too, when I saw how much strength she had to just keep going with everything that she was dealing with. But we got to a point where I started to realize that this outlet was just not good enough. No matter what I did or how hard I wanted to, I just couldn't help. She was still discouraged, and she was getting more and more exhausted every time I saw her. I actually prayed over this very thing on a Wednesday night. Then the next morning, I got an email that a new step study was about to start. It made me stop for a minute, and this is where it got real. I realized that I had been trying to help this friend for a very long time now, and something was still missing. Something still wasn't right. Something was still needed. But when I thought about inviting her, I knew that she was much more likely to go if I went with her. But I didn't really want to go with her. I didn't feel like I could take on one more thing, and besides, what would I even say in a recovery group? I honestly hoped that she would just offer to go on her own. But when I sent the invitation, she just replied, "That would be fantastic." So I wondered, does that mean that I have to go too? Maybe I can go to the first meeting or two and then something will come up and I won't have to stay. I really didn't mean to be that prideful, and I know that I'm not perfect at all, but I just really didn't want to do it. So I came down, this really came down to one of those, "Here you go, God, I don't want to do this" kind of things. But if you want me to do it, then I will. So I went, and by the end of the first session, which interestingly enough was on denial, I realized that there were some pretty tough questions about myself that I'd never really taken the time to answer or even consider. And that convicted me. How can I call myself a Christian if I can't admit that I'm powerless without God's grace? Do I really believe that that grace applies to me beyond just the surface level acknowledgement of it? The answer to that was no, by the way. Why did I have such a hard time believing that God's grace really did apply to me? Had I ever actually dealt with the hurts from my past? The answer to that was also no. Why did I think I could hold on to those resentments and still live in God's grace and carry his joy? But how in the world was I supposed to let them go? How does one even go about letting these things go if gaining knowledge and putting that knowledge into practice is not enough? It's been a tough journey through this step study process, I'm not gonna lie. It's been deep, and I feel like I'm literally physically responding to this. My brain is purging all these old unhealthy mantras. Things like "you're not good enough" and "you'll never be good enough" are starting to feel like jackets that I've been wearing for a long time that suddenly are starting to just not fit right anymore. It's like I'm simultaneously carrying more strength than I've ever had while losing my defenses left and right. And I'm only on step 4. Who knew that answering a few personal questions and not getting one single ounce of advice from another living soul could be so life-changing? Turns out that the answers are in the conversations that I can have with the Spirit of the one true God that lives right within me. And I'm capable of so much more than I ever realized. And by the way, my friend and I are having conversations these days that are on a whole different level than anything we had before. We are finally getting very real. So I give all the glory to God for using my pride to teach me what I didn't know and continuing to relentlessly pursue me. He never wanted me to be comfortable. That was never the point. And it was never simply about how much I trusted in him or what I understood about who he was. There's an acrostic that I learned that I'll never forget. TURN, T-U-R-N. Trust, understand, repent, new life. I had the trust and I had the understanding, but through some real repentance, I'm learning that a new life in Christ actually applies to me too. And it's changing me deeply. So, hello, my name is Melinda and I'm a grateful follower of Jesus Christ who struggles with resentment, fear, anxiety, and the effects of substance abuse.
Thank you. And where is Shelby? Shelby, what is your role with Celebrate Recovery?
My role?
Yeah, like you're like the head honcho of encouragement or something like
encouragement
that.
Encouragement coach.
Encouragement coach, yeah. So Shelby has an announcement that she would like to share with us, an invitation.
Hi. So if you're interested in learning more about Celebrate Recovery or you just want to come worship and hear how God is working in our community, we meet every Thursday at 7 at the church building. However, we especially want to invite you to come join us this Thursday, September 26th, for Come and See Night. Starting at 6, we'll have a free dinner with taco soup and cornbread. At 7, we'll have a live testimony and a time of worship, followed by Newcomers 101, where we'll talk more about how Celebrate Recovery works. Child care will be provided. Afterward, we'll have homemade desserts, coffee, and fellowship. Everyone is invited, and you can come for the whole time or just part of the evening, whatever you want. And again, that's this Thursday at the church building. The meal starts at 6 and worship, followed by Newcomers 101 at 7. We hope to see you there.
Thank you. Just a moment, Lawson is going to stand. He's going to lead us in a song as we all stand together. And Celebrate Recovery is a powerful instrument for dealing with our brokenness. Not the only way that we deal with brokenness here. We also do it through prayer and community as we pray for each other. In just a moment as we stand, you're going to see groups forming around our auditorium. These will be facilitators who are ready to welcome you. If you'd like to go to a group and to pray about a burden, if you need someone to pray with you, to pray for you, they'll be happy to do that. Bill Stewart, one of our shepherds, and I will be standing down front. If you would like to make the decision to become a follower of Jesus, like Lauren McGee did last Sunday, and we'd love to help you with that, and if we can help you with any other spiritual issue. But whatever your need may be, understand that Christ is the only answer for our brokenness. Let's stand and sing together.